Praise God, they don't drive at the same time and watch, but I take a peek every once in a while. So if you want to go to your Bibles with me, you want to go to two openings for our discussion this morning, Ephesians 2, 6, and Colossians 2 and 12. And we're going to talk about this morning, Risen Together. That's our title, Risen Together with Him. And of course, our topic again this morning is Easter morning, or we call the third day, or the resurrection. Let's go ahead and read our text, the two texts that we give you. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's found in Ephesians 2, 6. Then Paul tells the same story over there to the Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 12. I'm reading the New Living. For you were buried with him when you were baptized. Now that baptism there, he's not talking about water baptism. That's the baptism into the body of Christ when you receive Jesus. The word baptized means put into. And with him, everybody say with him, you were raised to new life. Because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now I want to bring across to you this morning here, gathered together, this point, and that is when God raised Jesus from the dead, I was raised from the dead. You know, man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. And first of all, we're spiritual creatures, aren't we? We're spiritual beings. Everyone is spiritual. Whether you're born again or not, you're spiritual. You're a spirit being. You're an eternal being. And you have a soul. That soul is composed or comprised of your mind, your thoughts, your imaginations. And, you know, that's something that we have to do with after we got saved. And then we have a body. We live in a body. So you say this way, I am a spirit, I possess a soul, and live in a physical body. That's how you recognize it. So as an introduction, I want to say within the New Testament, there is over 133 Bible verses, scriptures, that describe who we are in Christ, what we can do in Christ, and what we have, what we possess right now in Christ. You know, there's expressions with Christ, through Christ, in Christ. And then there's these expressions all throughout the New Testament. There's over 133 of those that say that, and they tell of who you are. It tells about what you can do. And, it's amazing that many people don't really focus on those, because the Bible really truly tells you and gives you revelation of things that you need to know right now, not after you pass on. You need to know some things right now. Amen? So you see in the mind of God, it says here, so I want to focus on the subject of being raised with Christ this morning, because it has so much meaning, so much significance for our advantage. You see, in the mind of God, when he raised Jesus from the dead, we were, as a church or individually, were raised from the dead. Spiritually speaking, we've been raised from the dead, and one day we will be given a new body. Amen. One day you'll have a new body. There's many scriptures that describe that in the scriptures in the New Testament that tells you that you will have a new body. You know, people are struggling with their bodies, physically sick. Things wear out. I was talking teasingly to our elders this morning. I said, how are you doing? They said, well, not too bad, you know. I said, as long as the plumbing is working, it's going to be okay. But, the shingles are getting a little bit old, kind of a falling off. You know, the doors are starting to squeak and, you know, different things like that. And you need some new carpeting. How many of you need new carpeting? Right? Some of you. I can see that right now. You need some carpeting. Need some fresh paint. But, you know, it's good to paint, you know. Amen. It makes you feel good. You know, I'm going to have to ask somebody to come and paint my, I have a little, you know, what do you call that in my bedroom? A little, I can't remember what it is, but it's a bathroom. Be quiet for a second. You have to, there's things in your house you have to take care of, right? And then you have to take care of yourself, right? Praise God. Sorry about that, buddy. I'm teasing you. You preach to me, I preach to you. And that's what it's for. I like the excitement. You know, some places they preach at you. That's where Brother Hagin used to say, I'm preaching louder than you're cheering, right? You go ahead and preach at me every once in a while. Don't be disturbed by him. He's okay. He doesn't hurt anybody, at least yet, anyway. Well, keep an eye on him. Anyways, when Jesus was raised from the dead, as far as God's concerned, you were raised from the dead. And Paul here tells the Philippians over here in Philippians 2 and 21, I'm reading the New Living, he says he will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power which he will bring everything under control. You know, when they say God is in control, well, he's not in control of everything. He's in control of those things that's been given to him by people. Now, you can do whatever you want. After church, you can go, like they said, you know, you can go over there and rob a gas station or, you know, but God will let you if you do something like that. But he's not going to force you. No, the law will force you, stop you. And we'll make sure. And the Bible says here, the point is that God is going to give you a glorious body one day. To the church at Rome, he said this in Romans 8:23, to the believers also, and we believers also groan. This is where you could have groaned a little bit. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of the future glory, we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait eager for the hope for the day when God will give our full rights as adopted children, including new bodies he has promised us. So thank God that he promised you a new body. One day you'll have a brand new body. It'll be wonderful, wouldn't it be? You know, the apostle didn't understand about the resurrection and the meaning of the resurrection. They didn't understand it when Jesus told them about it. Like many people today in the church, they misunderstand or don't understand the resurrection. They don't have that insight as far as having victory. That resurrection gave us victory in life. The Lord predicted his own death and resurrection. The disciples didn't understand, like many people today don't understand the significance of it. And what the resurrection does, what it gives us today, and there's so much to know about the subject. For instance, the resurrection gives you a new position. You have a new position and a new place in the kingdom of God. You're no longer under the power of Satan. You no longer have to be afraid of him. And what about Jesus' high priest ministry today as our high priest? What is he doing right now as a new resurrected high priest? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says he's interceding for you. And anytime you have, he's the Bible says he's our advocate. So when something bad happens to you, when you run off and do bad things, Jesus is standing right there at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for you, and he says, I died for that one. I've cleansed him with my blood. Is that too much for you to understand and cheer about this morning, or is that, you know, this is real. This is what people are missing today. Amen. What about our freedom from guilt and fear and condemnation? That if you would die right now, you know, you would go right into the presence of the Father. You don't have to be afraid to die. Because you are free. The Bible says you are holy, the Bible says, Ephesians 1 and 7. You're holy and blameless before Him in love. That if you were to pass away in a moment of time, you'd be in the very presence of God, and you didn't pay for it, you didn't do anything for it, you didn't pray about it, you didn't have to do anything. Jesus did it, amen? That's what the resurrection did. I'm trying to preach hard today. Amen. Hallelujah. Colossians 3 and verse 1 says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, we're talking about raised with Him. Since we've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. When God raised Jesus at His right hand, you're at the right hand of the Father. When He received honor, you receive honor with Him. And I'm telling you, people don't recognize, they don't understand this. It's a foreign language you start talking like this to the church. A lot of people celebrate Easter as just a celebration. Just like, whatever. But there's more to this than just, you know, a historical event. And there is significance of Him being raised from the dead for us that benefit us right now. You don't have to have any condemnation. Even if you did fail yesterday or coming in, driving into the church. There's no condemnation in you, against you. There's no guilt. Guilt has been removed. I talked to my wife. She's a college teacher, Bible teacher. And she tells me that there's in the New Testament, there's no word. We say that Jesus, what's that word again called again? Atonement. The word atonement, that's not in the New Testament. Atonement means covering, a temporary covering. In the Old Testament, when they killed the animals and put the blood, that's a temporary thing. But when Jesus died, amen, he cleansed you, amen. There's no more covering, praise God, amen. It's been completely removed, praise God, amen, because of the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. I'm getting excited right now. I'm going to jump out and run home, praise God. Amen. How many people want to run around this morning? I tell you, you'll be running home and running to the restaurant before everybody else. You know, Jesus predicted His own death and resurrection over here. Let's look at Luke chapter 18, verse 31 and 34. Taking the 12 disciples, Jesus said, listen, we're going to Jerusalem and we're going to have a party. No, He didn't say that. He said, we're all there. All the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He's using Scripture to describe Himself. And you better be using the Scriptures to describe yourself. What the Bible says about you. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning? He will be handed over to the Romans and He will be mocked and treated shamefully and spit upon. Imagine that. They will flog Him and whip Him and kill Him, but on the third day He will rise again. But they didn't understand any of this. Just like some of you don't understand what this is all about this morning. You just say, oh, thank God, we're going to celebrate. Jesus was raised from the dead, and but it doesn't have any significance to you right now sitting here. We need to understand there's more to it than just celebrating that He died and rose again. So they didn't understand that the significance of His words was hidden from them. And they failed to grasp what He was talking about. They didn't understand that it was like a foreign language to them. It was until later He opened up their understanding. And God later, through the prophet or the apostle Paul, opened up our understanding about the resurrection. If it wasn't for the epistle, we wouldn't understand the resurrection. And He wrote two letters to the church over there in Ephesians and specifically for that, and then also to the Colossians to tell you about the resurrection. Glory to God. And Today, God wants you and I to know more about the power of the resurrection so that we can live more victorious and live like, you know, we have resurrection power. It's more than just a historical event. It's a living reality of the power of God transferred into our hearts, into our spirits, that we are spiritually powerful people. Hallelujah. And some people haven't even used their authority yet. Even haven't moved. They're trying to get everybody else to pray for them and everybody else to get God to do something for them when they could do it themselves. Praise God. Amen. They travel all over the world. They go to Texas. They go to Toronto. They go to all over where there's a special meeting. But you don't have to go to any special meeting when you know this. You know for sure that you have that same power that they preach about inside of you. Amen? And you can get rid of the devil yourself. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Lift that hand and praise him for one moment. Praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. You know, it's so wonderful to know that your own prayers will work for you and that your faith will work and get you anything in the Bible that it says. It's not because someone has a special privilege to go for you before God. You can go there yourself. God has made a way for you. The first resurrection morning, let's go and take a look at the church history about this, about the resurrection that Sunday morning. It was early. That brought new life to all of us and gave us an advantage over all the enemy. Luke, let's read Luke chapter 24, 1 to 7, New Living Translation. But very early Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in and they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood, they were puzzled. Two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember that he told you back in Galilee that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again the third day." Paul preached the resurrection. Shortly after his conversion as a believer, he preached Christ to the Jews about the Jesus' crucifixion and the resurrection from the scriptures. Let's read Acts chapter 17, 1 to 4. Paul and Silas then traveled through the towns of Amphipolis and Ampolia and came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was Paul's custom, he went to the synagogue service. And for three Sabbaths in a row, he used the scriptures to reason with the people. You know, it takes about 3 weeks for people to get something and preach to them. You know, you don't get it the first time. You're going to have to listen to this thing that I'm teaching to you over and over again. And over the years, I've listened to Brother Hagin, people like that, over and over in the nighttime and at 3 o'clock and everybody's sleeping. I listen over and over, get up in the morning, play, put it into my... Back then, the cassette tapes. And I take a cassette tape, maybe 6 or 8 of them, and I get in my car, drive somewhere, and I'll listen continuously to them going somewhere for 8 hours and come back, do the same thing. There's times I drive to Winnipeg praying in the Holy Ghost from the time I leave here, the time I get there, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. Come back again, pray in tongues all the way, 8 hours, come here, come back again, pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's see if he says something. Sometimes he doesn't say. The Lord said to my wife, I was talking to the Lord yesterday about something that was troubling me, and I talked to the Lord. My wife said to me, I said, I was talking to the Lord as I come here for supper. She made supper yesterday. Thank God for turkey. And she made supper for just her and I. Thank God nobody has to, you know, crowd me. I don't have any more dogs. They're all gone somewhere. And I sat there, I was just talking to the Lord about something and I complained to him about something. He said, "Well, that's good. You need to complain to the Lord. It's the only one you can complain to." And then he said, "What did he say?" I said, "He said nothing." I said, why? Because it's stupid. What I'm asking about is stupid. He's already answered me. I just like to complain. How about you once in a while? Eh? So anyways... Three Sabbaths, he in a row, he he used the scriptures to reason with the people. You know, you need the scriptures to reason with people. That's where the revelation comes. It's from the scripture. Not how loud you yell and how rude you are with people. It's the scriptures that'll open up the doors of their portals and their mind. Explaining, verse 3, and demonstrating that Jesus Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ, or the Messiah. He's talking to the Jewish people there. Paul preached the resurrection to the Jews in the synagogues, that Jesus arose, that he is the Son of the living God. There is no salvation without the resurrection. Paul also preached to the Gentiles in Corinth about the resurrection. There is no hope. Life after death is useless or hopeless, without the resurrection. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. Let me now remind you, Paul tells the Corinthians, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it, and then you still stand firm in it. It is the good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important, that was also passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, as the scripture said. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and by the 12, and after that he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Paul is talking about the resurrection, and he was giving proof that Jesus did rise from the dead because many of his followers, close followers, saw him. He mentions 500 people. He mentions the apostles. He mentions the significant people there that was there. He talked about James. You know, James was a pastor too. And then he said, I saw him. Paul, after Paul got saved, the Bible said he immediately preached Christ. He says there, after Paul got saved, Paul set himself to go, before he was saved, he went persecuting and killing Christians because he was zealous. He was a zealous Jewish believer of the traditions of his religion. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus intervenes and saves Paul by his appearance. He was struck blind for 3 days and prayed and fasted. Then Jesus sent a man called by the name of Ananias, a follower or a disciple of Jesus, to rescue Paul. But this man, Ananias, questioned Jesus' wisdom in sending him to Paul, but he went anyway. You know, there are times that we question God about things. And we ask God, why would you do that? You know, he's telling Jesus, this man is killing Christians and you want me to go to him. You're trying to set me up to get killed, almost saying, because he's killing people. I'm not going to go right into it. But Jesus talked to Ananias and sent him. So we pick it up in verse 17 here of the 9th chapter. So Ananias went and found Saul and laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul. Now, he's calling him Brother Saul because he's born again now. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, he has sent me to that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. He doesn't say he spoke in tongues there, but in many other verses of the scripture, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, I wish that you would all speak with tongues. This is different than diverse tongues. There's significance, same, tongues the same, but in usage, there's different ways that God uses tongues. So after meeting the Lord Jesus Christ on the road, Paul got born again and filled with the Spirit through the ministry of Ananias. Afterward, he was water baptized or baptized in water. Then he began his preaching ministry. He later became the greatest apostle. You and I must understand, that he was a killer who turned to be an apostle, the greatest apostle of the world. has ever known. Verse 18, instantly something like a scale fell from Paul's eyes and he regained his sight. And he got up and he was baptized. And, you know, he was baptized in water, in other words. After he ate some food and regained his strength, Paul stayed there with the believers in Damascus a few days. Verse 20, immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying that he is indeed the Son of God. That's what my wife was trying to tell you to say. He is indeed. And earlier it says in there that, I think it was Luke says, indeed he is raised from the dead. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked? And didn't he come here to arrest them and to take them in chains to the leading priests? Paul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute the proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. You know, there's no hope without the resurrection. And Paul preached that over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he says it starting from verse 13. For if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And your faith is useless. And when the apostles would all be, and we apostles will all be lying about God, and we have, for what we have said, that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection from the dead. And if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope is only for this life, we are more pitied than anyone else in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he is the first of all great harvest, all who have died. Jesus is risen from the dead, and we have hope. And we, you know, will one day receive our new bodies as well. There is a harvest of resurrection from the dead. Paul's revelation later in his prayers for the church of Ephesians revealed something even more should be tantalizing to your taste, spiritually speaking. Let's read from Paul's revelation about the resurrection here in his letter to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. The same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. I pray this for you daily. I walk up and down this church. I pray here for an hour sometimes. I walk here for an hour, and I quote these scriptures for you. I said, I pray that every member of Faith City Church will get this revelation, that they'll understand who they are in Christ, that they can use this scripture. You know, we need to raise the standard of understanding in this church of who we are so that we can do more for God in our lives. That you don't have to depend on a few, superstar Christian people. No, you could be a superstar as well with Jesus, amen. That you can know who you are. And you could drive out devils as well. You can drive out sickness. You can drive out and call circumstances to come in line according to the scriptures. Is this four language? No, it might be, but you can understand it. He says, I pray that you would, that same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead, raise you up from the dead. And sat him at God's right hand. And right now, as far as God's concerned, you're at the right hand of the Father. And you don't have to be afraid. You know, when I was a Christian, when I first got saved, I joined a church. And they had very limited understanding about a lot of stuff. And I went there. I loved my church. But, They would say, "Oh, it's that Thursday afternoon. Thursday morning we're gonna pray. We're gonna have intercession." They say, "We're gonna break down the gates of heaven and go in there." And well, no, you don't have to break the gates of heaven. You're already there. You're already sitting with Jesus in heavenly realms. Amen. He doesn't want you to break down the doors. The doors are open. He opened them for you. You can just go right in and talk to the Heavenly Father. And pray. I guess some of you don't recognize and understand what I'm saying, because that's where I was from. I couldn't believe that I can go into the presence of God myself. I had to, like in the old way, what I used to believe, I used to have to believe that priests would go and do it for me, that I couldn't read the Bible on my own, that I couldn't understand things. And then when I joined the Pentecostal church, it was not, you know, there was a, they had some kind of traditions, the same thing, you know, that we don't always have to have anybody, you know, doing things for us. We can do some things for ourselves, according to Scripture. So we were spiritually dead. We were separated from God one time, but God put us back together in Ephesians 2, 1 to 6. He says here, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil and the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to believe, obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. And by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he has raised us from the dead along with Christ. With Christ. When Christ was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. When Christ sat at the right hand of the Father, we are sitting at the right hand of the Father. With him, it says in verse 6. We're with him, with Jesus, right now in heavenly realms, because we are united with Jesus. We're united in his death on the cross and on resurrection. We're united with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when he rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. Let's read Colossians 2 and 12. It says here, new living. You were buried with Christ when you were baptized. That's when you were baptized into the body, when the Holy Spirit took you. You got saved when you received Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit took you and baptized you into the spiritual body of Christ. That's not water baptism. The word baptized means to put into. You were put into, and with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. So we were raised to new life. Everybody say, new life. Say, I have new life. Say, I have eternal life, the God kind of life in me. You know, often I say, you know, I have the God, I have the mountain moving faith in me. Yeah. I'm spiritually alive, praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. I thank God for that mountain moving faith. You know, we need to begin to believe this and get stronger in it. It says in Romans 6, 4, let's go ahead and read Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto his death, and like as the Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in newness of life. Now, God wants us to walk in this new life because of the resurrection. He wants us to walk in this life. We kind of put up people on a pedestal, you know, and we thank God for those who's before us, who's a great men and women of God. But, they're there because to help the body of Christ, to know some certain things. But, we don't have to do worship them. That we need to understand who we are too. Amen. That you're something. God sees you in Christ. You know, the Bible says that sin, the power of sin is broken from in your life. The power of sin is broken. Over in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 14, you know, it's hard to almost fathom this in your own mind because we are used to thinking that we don't have any power. You got to sin. No, you don't have to. You just give into it. And people, they have habits and they don't realize, once I recognize that I don't have to, I have power over this. I didn't do some things I used to do. And sometimes people call me and say different things. They say, well, no, you got just as much power as I do. Yeah, you can just understand the scriptures here. Romans, let's go ahead and read Romans 6, verses 4. For we died with and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live in this new lives. Since we have been united with Christ in his death, we also should be raised to new life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. The King James says our old man was crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. Say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Before you just did it because you had to do it. But now you don't have to do it. You know, there's all kinds of sin. And we can just stop doing certain things anytime we want to. But sometimes people don't want to. And sometimes people don't know they can. And you got to get that revelation in you in order for us, in order for you to make it possible to not do it, whatever sin you have, problems you had before you were saved. Verse 7, for we died with Christ and we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we also live with him. We are assured of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not, I'm making an announcement right now, do not let sin control you any longer. What don't you understand, as they say, about do not? What is it about it that you do not understand about it? Do not let sin, you know, control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. I was talking to somebody the other day. He said, you know, I can't stop doing this. Well, you know, you can. He said, you just don't understand. Once you have this understanding, you don't have to. I had one guy one time call me. You know, there's a few times it happened to me. They had a sinful, lustful problem, and they couldn't stop doing certain things. I said, you can do it. You just have to understand this. You don't have to obey your flesh anymore. One day I recognized that I didn't have to obey my body to smoke. I told my body, I'm not letting you smoke anymore. My spirit on the inside was obeying God, but my flesh still wanted to. Once you understand spirit, soul, body, and understand faith, you can break things more easily. Stop doing things. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, if you can't control a little cigarette, how are you going to control those other big things you're going to be doing? And if you can't control, and if you can't tithe 10% of your money and believe that I can do more with that than you could do with 100%, how are you going to live? You know, I mean, I'm living according to my own faith. You know, thank God. I know people who make oodles of money, 4 or 5 times more money than I, and still broke. And got many jobs. And still broke. And they don't own a thing. And everything they have is owed. You know, you might look prosperous, but you're not. Some people don't have any peace to go to bed at night because they think they're going to lose it all. You know, young Cho says, you can take everything away from me today and put me somewhere else. I'll start over and do the same thing I did now because you can't take what's inside of me. Amen. I'll gain just as much as I had and more. But that's the power of the resurrection. See? Don't let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Don't let any part of your body, he's talking about your body here, see, because it's become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin no longer your master. You no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Since then God's grace has set us free from the law. Does it mean that we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize That you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey. You can be a slave to anything you want until you decide to stop. You can be a slave to sin that leads to death. You can choose to obey to God, which leads to righteous living. Satan, you know, he's the god of this world, but he's not our God. And he's doing a lot of things in your life or in this world that affect us. But we can start praying and start calling into position the circumstances to come in line to what God wants us to have in our lives. Let's go ahead and read Colossians 2 over there. Paul's prayer. But let me remind you before we read that, Colossians 2, 12 to 14. Let me remind you, the Bible says that Jesus called the devil the god of this world. Over in John chapter 12, 31 and verses chapter 14 and verse 30, he says, "Now the judgment of this world the prince of this world be cast out." The Bible says over here, John 12, 31. Then in 14, 31, he says, "The prince of this world cometh, it has nothing in me." He calls the devil the prince of this world. He's not our prince. In 2 Corinthians 4, 4, he's called the god of this world. But he's not your God. You've been taken over that kingdom, as we'll read in a moment. But we're under a different kingdom. Are you still here this morning? In verse 12 of Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to God's people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom of darkness, but we don't belong to that kingdom because we've been resurrected. Taken out of that kingdom and placed into a new kingdom. He transferred us to the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. You know, the kingdom of darkness is what you have to face every day. You know, every one of us, you're going to have to deal with the kingdom of darkness every day, and that's why you need to understand the power you have in Christ. Am I talking to you? Are you talking to me? Well, then you need to say amen. Amen? Amen, amen? Amen, amen. Amen. This is a wonderful time. This is resurrection morning. This is not just something we come to. Oh, come on, let's celebrate. You know, Jesus raised from the dead. Oh, yeah, praise God. Amen. Let's go home and eat some Easter eggs. No, this is more than Easter eggs. This is more than any of that stuff. This is Resurrection Sunday. Aren't you glad your pastor preaches that? You know, just say, well, we're going to bring some couple of clowns here this morning. We're going to hand out some Easter eggs. Amen? You know, Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 there talks about that. You know, we have to face these things. I want to just go, let's go read Ephesians 6. You can read the whole thing, chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. But I want to read, verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Verse 12 is talking about you and I have to deal with these, but God is not dealing with them. He's not going to do anything about the devils that's coming to you. He's already done that. He's already done that through Christ. Now he expects you to take the power that he's given to you through the resurrection revelation to know that who you are in Christ, you're a powerful weapon against the enemy. with the word of God in your mouth. You say, enemy, you get your hands off over here and you take off from here. You know, don't come crying to me or somebody, you know. You have to understand what I'm talking about. I thank God, you know, you can come to me if you want to. But you don't have to. You can do this yourself. You know, they have these things. Don't try this at home without, you know. No, you can do this at home. You can try this at home. Do it. Yeah. You know, some guy, he called me up. He says, you know, hey, we got these bunch of kids that they got devils. I said, oh, yeah? They was phoning me. He said, yeah, they were playing with a Ouija board. Now the thing doesn't stop talking to them. Can we phone you? I said, okay. So I got them all born again first. And then I said, I'm going to pray for you now. So I bind that spirit and cast it out. And they just had a great, wonderful time. Thank God. I mean, I can do that for them because they didn't know any better. But I'm teaching you some things that you can do yourself. You don't have to call me. You say, let's call the pastor. No, you don't have to call me. You can do it. You can do it yourself. And that's the kind of church that God wants. He wants all of us to know our rights and privileges in Christ. That's why he put over 133 so-called scriptures about who we are, what we can do, what we have in Christ. The Pauline revelation. Don't wait till you say, well, I'll wait till I'm really old to get that, like Pastor. Now, he's old. But you can get it too. You know, I don't know what did David learn anyway? That he's out there slinging his slingshot and killing bears and stuff and grabbing lions by the beard. He tells that giant, that's what I did with the you know, that's the kind of thing that we need to see, that we can do that too, spiritually speaking. Okay, I'm just preaching there. But anyway, we got to get to the word here. Now, Jesus, you know, we're dealing with these devils every day. But you know, when I first got born again, I read Ephesians 6 and 12, I was, all spooked out. I was scared because, there's devils everywhere. And in the 80s, early 80s, you know, Christians began to understand about spiritual authority and all that kind of stuff, or there's demons and everywhere, and we're all scared, like, what if he shows up here? Just the three of us are praising the Lord. And so we're scared, and I got a job in the 80s. I got born again. I got baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, and started preaching Jesus immediately, just like Paul. Walking the streets and then Kenora, going down, kicking down doors, and I'm the new guy in town. You know, I'm the new sheriff in Kenora. And I want to tell you guys something. And I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in water. Fresh off the road. Let's all go to the hospital. And so that's the way I was. You know, I was crazy before. You have to understand, I don't know that you can appreciate how crazy I used to be. You think I'm wild now. I was really crazy before. God tamed me down, gave me the Spirit. I would do all kinds of stuff. I was not afraid of anybody. Even though I would get beaten up, I would not be afraid of people. And I would do anything. And so the Lord saved me. Then I got scared. I came back to my mind. Came back to my mind and said, what was I doing? And some of you ought to get born again too. Are you born again?
Yeah.
Goes, well, there's two people. Really born again. Anyways, so we have to deal with these spirits. And I was, they sent me over to a place called White Dog, and I was knocking on doors and handing out, different things at the Children's Aid. You know, I'm working for Children's Aid. I'm a native guy working for Children's Aid, taking kids. They said, you have to do it. You got to take the kids because they're being abused. And then they were, lots of them were abused. Some of them were, had all, I could tell you things that just make you cry. So I was sent, and I was working there. My first job was, working for Children's Aid. And I went to one place. Kids were really in bad shape, and we had to have them removed. And they told me, you can't take the kids out. I said, I'm taking the kids out. He said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And we had a fight. And so one guy said to me, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to put a spell on you. I'm going to curse you. I said, you go ahead. Because I'm born again. But I didn't understand all this revelation. I went home and I started getting scared. Because I went to a prayer meeting. The guy said to me, oh, I wouldn't say that if I were you. You could never know. But I didn't know anything. He didn't know anything either. Obviously, he didn't know anything. I didn't know I was raised from the dead. I didn't know I had power. All power was given to me by Jesus. I didn't know about the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. I didn't know all that, but I just knew that I can preach Jesus. But I didn't know what God has blessed, you cannot curse. I didn't know I can never be cursed. Never. Never be cursed. Never. Say this. Say, I can never be cursed. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You know, you're blessed. You cannot be cursed. The Bible says that you're blessed. That's another message. Anyway, I yelled so hard, I started getting dizzy here. You think I fall on the floor, you think the Holy Ghost, bless God, the Holy Ghost, God. No, I just wrestled, ran out of breath. I got to tell you one story very quickly here before we end. I was having, healing meetings, all that, getting excited, and, we're casting devils out. So we had a healing meeting. So we called people up, and they all come up. And one guy, one of our musicians, he was a drummer, and he had a really bad back. He worked he fell down before, hurt his back. And he come into church one Sunday, and that back was acting up. He was so injured. And so we're going to pray for him, eh? So we're all there, he stood there, and so a lot of our people came and laid hands on him. And he started trembling. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you get trembling, right? So he's trembling that the people had, a whole pile of people had their hands on him, but they're pushing him down. He's trying to stand up. It had nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. So we're all getting happy because we thought the Holy Ghost is on him. He was shaking. I got to tell you another story, but this is kind of gross. No, I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you privately. But anyway, but let me just tell you generally speaking, because I got to talk about it, because another time, people are crazy in Christian world. They think all kinds of stuff. So anyway, we prayed, and we assumed the guy was being touched by God, we were just pressing on him too much. He had nerve problems in his back, and he was just twitching like that. Thank God, for his grace. Don't do things stupid. Amen? Before you start praising, make sure it's God. it is God, right? But anyways, I will tell that story another time. We'll come back. Anyway, over here we read in Colossians, chapter 2 and 12 to 15, he says, you were buried with him when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. How many sins did he forgive? All our sins. He canceled the record of charges that was against us, took it away on the end of the cross. Verse 14, you have to understand, appreciate verse 14. So anything that's going to happen in your life, all through your life, God canceled it all. Tomorrow and next year, it's all canceled. Isn't that wonderful? That you're free right now because Jesus canceled any record. There's no record of you ever sinning. Once you come to Jesus, it's hard for people to understand this because, they think, I got to be good. Well, yeah, be good. Don't be good because you're trying to make heaven. You're already made heaven through Christ. Verse 15, in this way, that's when the charges were canceled. He nailed it to the cross. When he nailed Jesus to the cross, in this way, he disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by the victory over them on the cross. In other words, those spiritual powers, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, that we deal with every day, these powers are disarmed against you. That's what the resurrection did. I said, that's what the resurrection did. He took away all the power of the devil away from him. The Bible says when Jesus came, he took the keys of hell and death when he raised him from the dead. And when he left, he said, all authority has been given to me. Now I want you to go and do what I do. And so he disarmed them. The Bible says that he spoiled. The King James says he spoiled principalities. The word spoiled means that he completely demolished and completely paralyzed the devil from ever harming you again. It's like this picture I was given over, the devil. If the devil came in and he's on a wheelchair, or let's say if a guy came in with a wheelchair, he's completely, he can't move very much. He can hardly move his hands, but he comes in there with some kind of a thing, and he tells you, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to give you a good whipping. And then would you be afraid of that person? No, of course not. That's the same picture you have with the devil. The Bible says that when people are afraid of the devil, that's the picture it's giving us right here. He disarmed, he spoiled principalities and powers. That's the same spiritual forces that's coming against you every day. That's the resurrection life and power that Jesus bought us when he was raised from the dead. It's just not some historical event over there. No, something greater has happened to you right now. I'm doing my best, and I've done my best. I prayed. I studied for hours. You can ask my wife, I studied for hours, this thing here. It's amazing what God will give me. You know, God will just give me scriptures. I'll just write for an hour. I'll write for an hour, never even look at my Bible. Sometimes I write. And you see all this stuff. Jesus downloads down the scriptures because I've read the Bible for years and years and years and years and years. Every night, every day. Reading the Bible, study the Bible. Some people say, "Oh, you know, you better watch it. You'll lose your mind." Well, thank God, I lost my mind and I gained Christ's mind. Amen. Right? So the devil is really under your feet. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, the Bible says that raised Christ from the dead and set him in the place of honor at God's right hand. Now he is far above, not just above, but far above any ruler or authority or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Verse 22, he has put all things under the authority of Christ and had made him head over all things for the church, for the benefit of the church. Jesus is the head. We are the body. When God raised Jesus the head from the grave, we the body were raised from the grave. Let's take it for instance. We have Grace right here. You all know Grace. Does anybody not know Grace? This is Grace right here. Wave your hand, Grace. This is Grace. Okay, Grace. Her name is Grace. Her toes are named Grace. Her hands, fingers are named Grace. Her body is Grace. All of her is Grace, not just her head. You know, the church is the body of Christ. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he raises up to all of us together. We're one with Jesus. If the head is raised, then the body is raised. We're raised with Jesus. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Amen. So last thing I want to say is this. I'm going to read this again. Verse 14, Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, the King James says, and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In other words, Jesus triumphed over the enemy. And his triumph is our triumph. When Jesus did it, in the mind of God, it's like as if we did it. He counted us, Jesus' victory is our victory. He spoiled, reduced them to zero. I want the musicians to come up and do a little dance before you come up here. And do some cartwheels. Isn't that good? Is that a good resurrection morning service teaching? Praise God. Well, a few of you are excited about it.